Welcome back to Forensic Mythology. This is Crystal.
And I'm Trista.
And I forgot everything I was supposed to say.
Sick!
And I don't even remember what I was talking about. Okay, I do now. It's been a long time. And I have no good excuses, it's just been a long time. So, welcome back, everyone. So today, I'm going to be talking about Incan mythology and ritual human sacrifice, including the frozen mummies that have been discovered from, like, a whole range.
Is this discovered recently, or?
Interesting, you should ask that.
What does that mean?
You look really nervous. I was actually planning on covering this and discussing the mummies that, like, people have known about for decades or longer, but when I was researching some of those, I came across articles that were from, like, yesterday about several more child mummies that have been discovered in Peru, and they're thought to be over 1,000 years old. So they, you know, they were discovered recently, but they're definitely very old. So it's not like they're actively sacrificing children.
Well, that's what I meant. I wasn't asking, like, are they currently sacrificing children right now? I meant, like, was it discovered?
I mean, you could say... Never mind, that's a whole... I'm not going to get on my rant. You know what, maybe I will a little bit. But, you know, as a species, we're okay with, you know, sacrificing children. If you're looking at, you know...
Current conflicts.
But anyways... We're here to talk about 1,000-year-old... Actually, 1,000 to 500-year-old mummies in Peru. So, I'll start with the most famous mummy, who's been dubbed Juanita, or the Lady of Ampato, which was the mountain that she was found on. And these are all in the Andes, which are, like... We covered the Andes plane crash.
And the cannibalism,
yeah. Yes, on the cannibalism episode, but... They're very, very tall mountains, and, you know, we live in the mountains, but those are, like, a whole other level of mountains. So, anyways, her body was discovered by anthropologists in 1995, and she was perfectly preserved and frozen, which was an incredible find for researchers, because she was mummified by the elements, not, like, as a ritualistic...
Yeah, a natural mummification.
Yes.
I've heard that there are a lot... more rare than human caused mummification. I was trying to word my sentence. It's a little bit of a weird thing to say.
Human caused mummification. That's a great distinction. So yeah, like in Egypt, they would create mummies by taking out all their organs and all their fluids and drying them out, basically.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But here, it's like the elements caused them to become mummies. That's the creepiest thing you've ever said. What's kind of cool, and I don't know if I should say cool, it's interesting. These mummies usually have, like, a full head of hair still.
That's pretty sick. Have you heard of the bog mummies?
Yes.
Are you talking about those guys?
No, but we should.
I love the bog mummies.
Then why don't you talk about
the bog? Or is it the bog?
Yeah.
It's the bog. Okay, I always don't remember, because people get bog and swamps mixed up, and there's people out there really passionate about the bog swamp clarification. And I'm always scared I'm going to say bog one day instead of swamp. And then they're, like, going to come creeping out from the shadows and go, actually.
Yeah, they will. I mean, God forbid you mix soil and sediment.
Yeah.
But, anyways, they're the ones, like, that they just, that I was reading about in the last couple of days. I mean, they found them, you know, several months ago, but the articles were from the last couple of days. And they were shocked to find, like, some of them had naturally blonde hair.
Yeah.
Because they were expecting them to have, like, black hair.
Mm.
And then, so they did all these tests about, like, if it could have turned blonde from whatever process, and, you know, they ruled all that out, and it was just, like, they had blonde hair. So.
Oh, nice.
Okay. But anyways, back to the distinction between, you know, like, in Egypt, they were trying to make mummies.
Yeah.
But it can happen not just in, like... It's basically super dry environments, so yes, the Andes, like, you know, there's no moisture, it's no humidity, it's just dry air, and it's frozen. And then, but it can also happen, like, in desert situations, too. So, anyway, she was very well preserved. They could tell, like, you know, even what she had eaten before she died, and...
What did she eat?
Well, I'll get to that in a second.
Sorry.
And they could also just tell so much about her life, because, you know, you can find from, like, your... the teeth and various parts of the bones, like what their diet consisted of and what area they were from and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So it was a very cool find. I mean, still horrifying. Let's keep in mind, these are children that were ritually sacrificed. It's all horrifying. Should have probably done a disclaimer at the top. Yeah, it's all bad, but... So, what they know is that she was an Incan girl who was killed as a human sacrifice to the Inca gods sometime between 1440 and 1480, which really wasn't that long ago. It was, like, 500 years ago. It's not like this happened 3,000 years ago or something. But she was approximately 12 to 15 years old, and they were able to tell that earlier the day that she died, she had eaten a bunch of vegetables.
Sick.
She was highly intoxicated at the time of death with alcohol and coca, which, I mean, thank God she was inebriated at the time of death.
Well, I'm glad that they're at least like, okay, we're going to sacrifice you, but you're not going to know what the hell is happening to you.
Yeah. I hope that she was drugged, because she knew she was going to die. Like, they would prepare them... for, like, 6 months ahead of time once they were selected as a human sacrifice. Like, it was a big honor.
In my head, it was kind of just, like, one day they all just gathered around and, like, you, we're killing you right now. And they're like, oh, damn. And then they did it right then.
No, it was a big, long process. And this was, like, I'd have to Google it, which I think I'm going to do right now. But the city's, like, God, what's it called? That was the capital...
Oh, on the... Wait.
Hold on. It's Cusco.
Yeah.
It was, like, the center of Inca society, and it was, like, a massive city with a very strict hierarchy. It was very brutal, but it wasn't some, like, tribe going, oh, I choose you to be the sacrifice. It was, like, a whole elaborate system. Okay, so they had a huge population, and it varied by different accounts, like, up to... 30 million, in not just in the city, in the whole Inca Empire, but...
Sick.
Like, then, you know, their capital city had millions of people in it. It wasn't just, like, a little tiny village. So, anyway, back to, yes, she was, thank God she was inebriated, because she knew she was gonna die. And then the manner of death was insanely brutal. It was just blunt force trauma to the head. So, the injuries to her skull resembled that of someone getting hit by a baseball bat. Which is my weapon of choice for home defense. But it seems like a crazy way to kill a child human sacrifice. I don't know what would be a good way.
Yeah, that's true.
Kill a child
sacrifice. Personally, if I was sacrificing children, I wouldn't go with the baseball method. That's what you sounded like.
Well, it seems insane, like... I don't know. I don't know what a good way is. It all seems insane to me, but I don't know. Doesn't that seem particularly brutal? Just a baseball bat to the head?
Yeah.
So, anyways. Volcanic ash from the nearby erupting volcano induced ice melt in the area, which caused the Inca burial sites to collapse down into, like, a crater where they were discovered by anthropologist Reinhardt and his team. And they actually ended up discovering a few other mummies during this expedition, two other young girls and a young boy. And they also found many items that had been left as offerings to the Inca gods, including llama bones, small figurines, and pottery pieces.
Oh.
And shells. The items were strewn about the mountain slope, which... like, down which the body had fallen. And so there was, like, food items, shells, which were associated with rain rituals, and could suggest that she was sacrificed to the gods during a drought. Which, this is a highly which we sort of covered in the Nazca lines. Like, they don't get very much rain.
No, not at all.
And this is in a totally different area of Peru, but it's still, like, very water-dependent. Yeah. So if there's a drought, like, things are going bad real quick.
Well, I too am very water-dependent. Like, much like every other human on this earth.
Aren't we all? Okay, so yes, we're all water-dependent. Anyways, analysis of her stomach contents revealed that she ate a meal of vegetables 6 to 8 hours before her death. Some evidence suggests that she may have come from a noble Cusco family. Her clothing was very elaborate and expensive, which that, you know, they haven't fully determined yet, which I'll go more into. But, she had this brightly colored tapestry on, which is called an axu. She wore a hat made from the feathers of a red macaw, and she wore a woolen alpaca shawl fastened with a silver clasp. She was fully clothed in garments resembling the finest textiles from the Inca capital city of Cusco, and these were almost perfectly preserved, providing valuable insight into sacred Inca textiles and how the nobility dressed. But they also, you know, there's some things to suggest that even if they were picked from other poor families,
yeah,
as part of this ritual, that they were brought there and through all the, like, ritualistic stuff for several months, so they could have just been dressed like that even if they weren't actually from a noble family.
Okay.
So, anyways, so analysis of other child sacrifices in the area has found that there were changes in their diet within the last year of their life to indicate, like, if they originated from more common families or nobility.
Yeah.
And it's usually indicated by the amount of meat protein that was consumed throughout their life. And, you know, because, like, noble families would eat meat regularly, and
yeah,
poorer families could just have vegetables. And there's no specific analysis of Juanita, so it's inconclusive if she came from a noble family.
Why is there no...
I don't know. I think that part of it, you know, she was discovered in 95, and some of these tests were just kind of coming out. So you can only test something so many times before it's degraded and you can't run the tests.
Yeah.
So they may have just not done them yet on her.
Okay.
So anyways, analysis of similar child sacrifices in the region all indicate that at 6 months before their death, they were in Cusco, likely for a ceremony before making their journey to the mountains. The final 6 to 8 weeks of life for a sacrificed Incan child consisted of heavy use of drugs and alcohol, with a combination of coca and chicha alcohol.
Okay.
I probably should have Googled what that even is. The children would be in a highly intoxicated psychological state. Markers in Juanita's hair indicate that she was given coca and alcohol prior to her death, suggesting she was in a state of near unconsciousness. The ritual sacrifice called Capacocha was a key component to the Inca Empire. This ritual, which usually involved the sacrifice of children, was for celebratory events. These events included an annual or biennial event in the Incan calendar, the death of an emperor, the birth of a royal son, or a victory in battle. You okay. said, oh, like, oh, okay. We have a royal son, let's sacrifice a child.
No, I was just... sorry. It's not how I meant for that to come out.
So they were also performed to prevent natural disasters, such as volcanic eruptions, droughts, earthquakes, and epidemics. Beyond celebratory events and sacrifices for prevention, child sacrifice represented the empire's ability to use coercion and control. As tribute payment, Inca rulers ordered boys and girls between the ages of 12 and 16 to sacrifice. It was like the Hunger Games, like, fully.
Okay.
So that's why, you know, it could have been that she was from a noble family, but it's more likely that they were demanding them as tribute and sacrificing them, you know, to keep their territories in control, but also to appease the gods.
All right, that makes sense. Well, okay.
What are your thoughts?
I was gonna be like, the explanation makes sense for me, completely removed from that kind of thinking. Doesn't make sense to me, but it makes sense. You know what I'm saying?
What doesn't make sense?
Like,
sacrificing children?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That doesn't make sense to me, but it makes sense.
In context?
Yeah. Of I just time said and place? Sense so much, it doesn't feel like a real word anymore.
Did you just lose your whole mind?
I think I did.
Okay. So, more analysis suggests that children were taken from several different geographical areas and brought to the Incan capital, and then potentially underwent months of travel to the sacred location at which they would be sacrificed, which was high up in the mountains. So, children were selected as they were considered pure beings and worthy of giving to the Inca gods. So it's like, let's take the most innocent among us.
Okay.
Beat them with a bat.
Oh my god.
I feel like, never mind, it's too dark. So once sacrificed, these children were believed to become messengers to the Apu, which were the gods, and act as negotiators for the people. The people, in turn, would worship the sacrificed children alongside worship of the gods. So, like, even after, it wasn't just a one-time thing, like, they would still, they were kind of, like, regarded as saints in the Catholic Church. Like, they were still called on and revered, and people would bring offerings to their gravesite and stuff.
Okay.
So it was, like, a high honor, even though it was horrifying. So, Juanita and several others were likely sacrificed to appease the gods after volcanic eruptions on the nearby Misti and Sabancaya volcanoes.
Duki.
Volcanic eruptions cause irregularities in climate that can last between 3 to 5 years, depending on location and intensity. In these circumstances, precipitation patterns are altered due to particulate presence in the air. And overall, research has indicated that volcanic eruptions lead to a general trend of drought, which in this area in particular is obviously catastrophic. So, particulate from the explosions can also particulate from the explosions can also contaminate water supply and air quality.
Take your time.
I'm editing that out. I just completely lost my mind. Okay. So this is endorsed by Reinhardt's observations, and he was the anthropologist that discovered Juanita's body. But in some of his notes from the field site, he said, the sacrifices were made either during a lengthy period of extreme drought, during or just after volcanic eruptions.
Is it like, if the sacrifice didn't work, would they be like, oh dang, we need more sacrifices? Or like, would they just be like, well, I guess that person wasn't good enough.
Well, if you think about it, these things are, like, cyclical, so it would look, even if it didn't happen right away, eventually things would get better. It's all a weather cycle.
How long would they have to wait until until they're like, this didn't work?
I don't know, but the thing that people at the top are obviously scared of is, if it doesn't work, it starts to undermine their authority. Like, in any power structure, that's true. And so, they may crack down harder on demanding more sacrifices or blaming it on the people. Like, you guys aren't good enough, this, you know. Or, like, if you're, like, you know, maybe a certain Republican governor and you say that the hurricanes are coming because of the gays or whatever. You know, it's like, blaming it on other people other than it's just actually the weather.
Sick.
So anyways. Wow, I got off track here. But yeah, I don't know how many, like, if they would need to sacrifice more people. I'm sure it wasn't just a singular person each time.
Yeah.
Although it could have been, since it sounds like they did it fairly often. It was like, oh, we had another royal son. Hmm. Or we had a holiday. Or we had somebody die. You know? Hmm. Let's sacrifice some children. It just seems like, as a whole society,
is it children specifically?
Well, it was like 12 to 16-year-olds, yeah.
Okay.
I mean, we would consider them children.
Were you, like, if you were 11 and 17, would you be safe? Or is it Like,
it's kind of, it's so much like the Hunger Games. Like, you get put in the bucket when you turn 12.
Okay, so you just, at the moment you turn 12, you're like, dear God.
Yeah.
Make me survive until the night I turn 17.
Yeah, pretty much. And then it's like everyone else you care about in that age group, you know.
Oh, imagine, like, going out to hang with your best friend, and they're, like, getting, like, carried away, and you're like, where are they going? Where are you going? And they're like, oh, you know, just go to my 6-month preparation before I get sacrificed.
Totally casual.
Yeah.
You know what, though? It's not, I mean, that sounds so outrageous to us, but it's kind of like, when you think about, this is just an example, but you can find examples like this all over the world throughout time. But, like, the way that Native American children were just literally, like, kidnapped from their homes and put into horrifying Indian schools, yeah. Which I'm putting in quotation marks because they were the most horrifying things.
Yeah.
And so it's just, like, that age period where you had to, like, everyone dreaded it and everyone knew it was there. And there wasn't a lot
to do
about it. Mm. It was just this ominous thing that hung over everyone's lives.
Yeah.
Or, like, you know, like, getting drafted when, with a war you don't agree with. Or, you know, like, there's a lot of examples. Sorry, that turned really dark and horrible. I mean, not that child sacrifice was dark enough.
Child sacrifices is okay, but, you know, this is where I draw the line.
It's also just, it shows the way that, like, the way that societies treat, or that all of civilization treats children, or, like, the most innocent. It's really just, humanity's pretty dark.
Yeah.
Okay, anyways, so, yeah, he said they were made either during a lengthy period of extreme drought, during volcanic eruptions, or both. Only in such periods could the ground have been unfrozen enough to allow the Inca to build the sites and bury their offerings as they did. Because they're very high up in the Andes, so they're usually, it's usually like a frozen tundra or whatever. Not tundra, it's like a glacier.
Okay.
And this factor could explain their importance. Like, the fact that there was not snow up there and they could, you know, put all their stuff up there.
Yeah.
That means it was probably a pretty bad drought. Yeah. So, droughts and volcanic ash would kill off, like, pasturage, pollute, and deplete the water sources that were so critical to the villagers below. So it's probable that Juanita was sacrificed in response to climactic Why am I struggling so bad today?
If I had a nickel for every time you stuttered and messed up, I'd have 3 nickels.
Climatic irregularities. To placate the gods in return for water. Incan belief at the time was that mountains and their spirits controlled weather and water, and thus were intertwined with the villages below. Which, I like the idea that mountains have their own spirits. It's super cool. It's like Mount Shasta. I know I've brought this up before because I just think it's one of the coolest stories. But, like, the local tribes called it the Mas Mesa, I think, and it's, like, the center of the world.
Sick.
Like, it has its own spirit as the center of the world. I don't know, I just think it's so cool, like, that mountains are spirits. Anyways, so the prosperity of the crops and people depended on the approval of the mountain deity, to provide water for their consumption and irrigation. And water is a life-giving source that was perceived to be connected with femininity and fertility. I almost didn't say that, too. So you can have 4 nickels.
Yeah, let's go!
Therefore, the mountains that provided water were attributed to be female deities by the Inca. In southern Peru, it was believed that sacrificing a young female would appease the mountain deity, who would in turn provide a consistent water supply to the region. Which, call me jaded, but I feel like if you had a female mountain deity, she'd probably rather have you sacrifice a, like, a really obnoxious male.
Okay.
Anyway, so there are several gods and goddesses that were worshipped by the Inca, which I'll go over in a second, but it's the Huacas, which are anything, including people, places, and objects in the world that the Inca believed had a supernatural spirit. The size of the Huaca determined how much power it had. So, for example, mountains were considered some of the most powerful, and the Inca worshipped and cared for them similar to other deities, which goes along with them sacrificing to the mountain itself because they believed that that's where the water was controlled. And so,
yeah,
you know, if they hadn't had sufficient water in a long time, long enough that there was no snow up on the mountain, then they probably thought the mountain was real pissed. So the gods that were worshipped included Viracocha, the creator, Inti, the sun god, Ilapa, the god of thunder, Mama Kila, Kia, which translates to Mother Moon, so a mother goddess, Pachamama, an earth goddess of fertility, Mama Cocha, the mother of lakes, and also several stellar deities based on constellations. I like how they, you know, like in other places you see there's like the moon goddess, the goddess of the earth goddess of fertility, yeah, the mother of lakes. Those would all be kind of like one goddess, but they've got one for everything. I like it.
Nice.
So the Apu mountain spirits did not fade away following the demise of the Inca Empire. In fact, they're very much alive in modern Peruvian folklore. Many present-day Peruvians, especially those born and raised within traditional Andean communities, still hold beliefs that date back to the Inca, albeit these beliefs are often combined with aspects of Christian faiths, like, well, Catholic faiths, same, you know, whatever. The notion of the Apu spirits remains common in the highlands, where some Peruvians still make offerings to the mountain gods. According to Paul R. Steele and the Handbook of Inca Mythology, trained diviners can communicate with the Apus by tossing handfuls of coca leaves into a woven cloth and studying messages encoded in the configuration of leaves.
Ooh.
Which is cool because you can see that in so many different folklore magic around the world.
Yeah.
Like the translation of leaves or tea leaves or, you know.
I've always wanted to learn how to read tea leaves.
Well, maybe you should.
All right, they've convinced me.
Understandably, the highest mountains in Peru are often the most sacred. Smaller peaks, however, are also venerated as Apus. Cusco, the former Inca capital, has 12 sacred Apus, including the towering 20,945-foot Asangate. I can't even begin to say the other two peaks, because I am an idiot. And so I'm just going to skip them. They both start with S. And then Machu Picchu, the old peak, after yep. which the archaeological site is named, is also a sacred Apu, and as is the neighboring Huayna Picchu.
Nice.
So yeah, it sounds like it was a real rough time to be a 12 to 16-year-old, especially if
yeah, can
there
confirm.
Was a drought going on.
Also can confirm.
How
living
can you
living in California?
Yeah, but you weren't about to be sacrificed. So
well,
like,
you haven't said anything in this sentence about sacrificing yet. So I can't well, confirm. It was a rough time being 12 to 16 years old in a drought.
Oh, I just meant that was a rough period in time to be 12 to 16 years old.
Oh, well, I can't confirm on that. I wasn't 12 to 16 back 500 then.
500 years ago. Yeah,
or maybe I was.
Maybe you were.
Maybe I was.
So, at least they had cocaine and alcohol to take the edge off of being brutally, ritually murdered.
Yeah, at least they had drugs and alcohol, so when they get absolutely bonked over the head with a baseball bat.
It's like, I want to post some of the photos, but it also feels disrespectful.
Yeah. You know?
It's like, they were already sacrificed and then found and blasted all over the news. So I think I might just post other things related to the story, but
I can't speak for this person, but if I was a human sacrifice and they found me like 500 years later,
you would want to be posted on Instagram?
Yeah, dude. Let everyone speak of my name. But if I was,
but it's just a name they made up. They just named her Juanita. We don't know what her real name was.
Well, yeah. So that I'm saying I'm not.
They called her the Ice Maiden of something. Ooh. Of whatever mountain it was.
That's pretty. That's pretty dope.
I know. I want to be called the Ice Maiden. That sounds awesome.
Wait 500. I can help you. Then you got to wait 500 years. Then it can happen.
What?
You heard me.
That's creepy.
You said you wanted to be the Ice Maiden.
I don't want to be murdered.
It's not murdered. It's an adult sacrifice.
Get out of here. That is really upsetting since you are the beneficiary of
my life. I forgot about that. This is really incriminating evidence if you do get murdered. They're going to look back on this and be like...
Everyone's throwing you in jail, so just beware of that. Okay, well, that took a weird turn, but thanks for listening, and sorry it took us so long, but it is how it is, and you're all used to it by now.
Mm-hmm.
And you can follow us on all the things, and hopefully it won't take us, you know, several months again.
You know it's going to.
You know it's going to, but hopefully it won't.